got so mad there's no control. Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock, I might grab a bat, I don't know, my wrath, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes, I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show. So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things, realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up, let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough. I'll take a face full of pavement, just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh God, adrenaline wasted, so mad I can taste.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Heal the Ring podcast. I am BX Sports Jedi Kev. I'm in with the Samurai, the Heel. Today, we will be breaking down from Nebraska, the Monday Night Raw that took place on the 20th of June. A lot of building up to Money in the Bank pay-per-view, a lot of qualifying bouts, and tremendous to fight in that ladder. We'll see even Elias returns to Raw. So I first want to say hello. Let's say hello to Heel. Heel.
Hey, I thought about it, but then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try my best to be on camera for this one because, you know, reasons. But yeah, what's up, guys?
All right, let's throw it to Samurai. Salute, Samurai.
Hello, hello.
All right, let's get right to the nuts and bolts there. Monday Night Raw from Nebraska. Of course, a lot of news and notes came out of it that we didn't even know. It starts off with the NXT. Bianca Belair cutting in the promo and letting us know that WWE Universe, Rhea Ripley has not been medically cleared. Will not be able to participate in the Money in the Bank. Right there, I saw that threw a monkey wrench. That threw a whole, like, what the heck? In a whole rash of injuries of all, not just WWE, in all of cross professional wrestling, another injury heel. What's your thoughts on that one?
My first thought was, all right, well, I wasn't really looking forward to Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley in a weird way. So now we have a chance to possibly get a better match, possibly. Not saying that Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley wouldn't have had a good match, but I don't think they ever fought before. So, you know, maybe they just put on someone. But let's be honest, we all knew Bianca Belair wasn't going to lose. So, you know, and then we had a match, and I don't know if you want to get to who won.
Oh, well, I just want to first get to Samurai's thought on. Let's get Samurai's thought in here. Samurai, let me give your thoughts there. Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, not competing, being injured. Your thoughts? Were you looking forward to? I was looking forward for them to wrestle. I think they have wrestled plenty of time in NXT. Samurai.
Yes, that's true. I don't think I don't recall them wrestling in NXT. At all, but I think they have. But yeah, they I don't know how that happened. I mean, that probably explains why she hasn't been on TV for the past couple weeks. She's nursing an injury. That's why she did that backstage promo last week.
All right, and then while we had her Bianca Belair and let us all know that it's going to be a fatal 5-way lady match. The winner of the Fatal 5-Way will be able to contend and take Rhea Ripley's position in the main event at Money in the Bank versus Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's title. And we had the following names as follows. As you see the ladies in the ring, we had Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan, Asuka, actually had Carmella, and we had Alexa Bliss. So five strong women. When I saw this and I saw this injury, unfortunate situation with the fight and a fatal 5-way, I'm like, this is why you gotta let the captains captain the ship and the sailors swap the dock. And what I mean by that, I mean is Miss McMahon and creative team, let them do their job. And this is a message for Sasha Banks, because you could have been immediately elevated. You can never assume. for her to get her titsy pit and go out there and go and get a like report said, all upset and leaving. Meanwhile, look at the injuries and look at the opportunities, because, you know, and now you're sitting at home wondering what's next. What's your thoughts on the first five ladies coming out heel?
I was actually excited for this. You know, WWE does a lot of one-on-ones, which sometimes can get kind of, you know, repetitive. And it's nice for them to, you know, just let loose and have these cluster tough matches. Because, like, I know you see it a lot in, like, you know, rather it's AEW or any independent circuit, but for WWE to do it, it can feel really refreshing. And I liked it to, you know, start off Raw.
Samurai, your thoughts on the five ladies? Did they get the five correct competitors there? Do you think they left anyone out that's on the Raw roster, or you think they got it all correct?
They did. Yes. I mean, I could have done without Carmella. I mean, she didn't do it. She's been out to you for like what, a month and a half, and she's in a title match, a title contention match, basically.
Go ahead, finish
it. It just doesn't sit well with me.
Right, and we all knew back a couple weeks ago, prior to getting married to Corey Graves, there was complainings by Carmella that she's not on TV more. She wanted it more the normal complaints. I need to be on TV more of a program. And what they say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I guess that's what happened there with Carmella. She put her in a five way. I felt bad was for Doudrop. I thought Doudrop could have been part of this program in this kind of match, just to show a different element, a different style. But it is what it is. All in all, when the five ladies started, the five ladies delivered. For opening segment on Raw, I love the interaction. You know, we saw the Blitz off the top ropes. We saw Becky. We saw her even do Alexa Bliss almost doing a Sister Abigail. She attempted it twice and missed it. Heel. In-ring performance on all five ladies. What's your thoughts on that?
All these ladies did a really good job, especially for a five-way. They did really good. And I disagree with Sam, right? I think Carmella winning makes a lot of sense, and I like it.
He never mentioned it, but it's spoiler alert. We have our winner.
Yeah. He did, because he said she was getting a title match. I don't know if he missed it.
He's in title contention, but it is what it is. It's semantics.
Yeah.
Cat's out of bag.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting what he's saying, but anyway, she's just there to help Bianca, you know. She's just a stepping stone to Bianca going to the next pay-per-view or show.
Before I go to the next segment, go ahead, he'll finish on it.
But yeah, all five ladies just did a phenomenal job. I liked it, actually. I was the opener.
And like Heel just said a few seconds ago, even to the surprise of Bianca Belair, we have the winner. It's Carmella. Carmella gets the pin. And let me ask Samurai. Samurai, do you agree or disagree with Carmella getting the victory? And of course, Bianca Belair, it was a surprise.
Well, I don't know if I agree with it. I mean, like I said, I just don't think she should be there to bring off TV for a month and a half. I just think that she. I mean, I'm happy that she won, but at the same time, I just don't want her. I don't want her in that spot. Like, I feel like she's playing. They're playing favorites because of her blonde hair and, you know, big cha-chas.
No, they're not playing favorites. If that was the case, I bet Becky would have won then. If they were playing
or Liv Morgan, because she's Asuka, over with the crowd. Yeah, Liv Morgan. Yeah. I think Liv Morgan, because she was the only one that is not a former champion. At least give her a title match, at least to, you know, go up against Bianca Belair. But let me ask you this, Heel, that we got Carmella victorious. Do you feel like this woman's match is a filler match going into Money in the Bank?
It really is. I even thought the same thing with Ripley. I was like, this is just like really like a stepping stone for Bianca to continue her title run. Now, granted, Ripley was a little bit more of a mystery because, you know, Ripley does have more of a chance against Bianca, at least from storyline perspective. But I'll be really shocked if Carmella wins the title.
Samurai, knowing the history with Carmella, the way she has her in-ring performance, as well as Bianca Belair. What's your expectation on this match? You think they could actually deliver a good match to get Carmella over, despite we all know that Bianca Belair is going to retain her title. You know, do you think that Carmella will go over despite knowing what's going to perspire? What's your thoughts?
I mean, I like Carmella. Her in-ring, she's not bad in the ring. She's getting better, actually. But I don't think that she's gonna. She's not gonna. She's obviously not gonna win. But that's neither here nor there. But yes, I think she will be somewhat over, mainly in Corey Graves' eyes. But you know, I don't know. I just like I like Bianca Belair's chances.
Okay, so we will move on to the next segment there. We'll see for Money in the Bank, Bianca Belair versus Carmella. But before we move on with the program, we want to acknowledge the passing of Tim White, the former WWE official, as also Dave Hefner, the former WWE of one of the twins for Earl Hefner. We saw Earl Hefner and his son officiate at Slammiversary on Sunday, and I know they did it with a heavy heart. And, you know, rest in peace for those two officials in the official world.
Yes, rest in peace.
All right, so we'll move on to the next. So it's funny to see there. We have Riddle come out and cut a promo. Riddle was coming a promo. Yeah, I love this new shirt. Hey, Randy. But let me ask you, Heel. The Randy Love Fest, I'm getting a little bothered with it. I'm like, enough. Let it be about Riddle. Enough with the riding on the laurels and the coattail of Randy. Yes, he's injured. We wish he was here. Give it a rest. I like what Riddle did. Phenomenal match against Roman Reigns on Saturday night SmackDown. He did a phenomenal job. I think Riddle is getting over. He's really good. But when it comes promo-wise, stop the Randy ass kissing. Get to Riddle, bro. What's your thoughts, Heel?
And I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was like, it's one of those cases where the fact that he has to bring up Randy Orton and everything, it's going to make you question, is he really over? Because, you know, if a guy has to bring up Randy Orton or any type of legend, and this goes for Dominic too, like his dad, if you had to bring up a legend every time in your promos that you're associated with, it does bring up the question, are you really over? And I don't know for Riddle in this case, because in order for us to find out if he's really over, he's going to have to just be Riddle. He can't keep on cutting promos like this. He has to just embrace the fact that he's on his own right now and stop, like you said, kissing Randy Orton's, you know what. So, but the promo again, it was good for what it was. But yeah, these promos are getting boring and stale for Riddle.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw that same question to you, Samurai. Before I throw that question to you with Riddle's promo with the Randy Orton, because we also saw that on SmackDown. My God, you know, I thought, you know, in the beginning, hey Mitch, what's going on, man? Mitch, are you available to join us, Mitch? Let us know if you're able to join us. I'll put the link there and want to come and talk a little Raw with Raw. Mitch reached out a little earlier last time I met him and in the wrestling experience. So let me throw that question to you there, Samurai.
Yes, it is getting a little bit disturbing. I mean, every time he comes out, he always mentions Randy Orton, and it's like, come on, dude, you're better than this. I mean, I like Riddle, but just stop mentioning Randy, and he keeps and stop stealing the RKO. It's not your fucking move.
I'm all right with the move. I'm okay with it. I like the fact even when he gets down and he starts pounding, like, you know, with, you know, setting up the Viper move. I'm all right with all that. With Riddle, I'm okay with even all the in-ring performance, because Riddle brings it. He could wrestle. Bring him that again. That match, Roman Reigns, if you could say the match of the year, it is. Let's bring in Mitch in a second. Now, the question is, I think he's over personally. I think he's over without Randy Orton. I think he needs to dial that back down. Or let me bring. I know it's a little bit ahead of us, and I don't know when Randy will return. Do you think that's what's going to cause Randy to turn on on Riddle? Because it looks like it, man. Looks like it's gonna be a turn there, or maybe even Riddle turn on Randy Orton. You weren't there for me, bro.
Okay, I'm. No, wait.
Am I hearing echoes?
I think it's. I think he's getting a phone call. Yeah.
Okay, let's mute him for a moment. Heel, let's see.
Yeah, he wanted to see the last word on my shirt, but what was the question again?
With the Riddle, Matt Riddle, we're moving on with there. We saw that Riddle. We saw that Riddle had a Money in the Bank qualifier. He says, of course, part of the promo is, yes, I might have lost Roman, but that, you know, when I get on the heel of the ring, where, you know, let me bring in Mitch in. Mitch, salute, Mitch. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just nervous for the NBA draft for my Sixers, but other than that, I'm fine.
Yes, we'll be doing a watch along on the.
Oh, I'm doing that too on the Hardcore Sports Network.
Awesome. Now we were talking about Monday Night Raw. And besides, this is Heel. This is Mitch. Mitch Heel.
Nice to meet you, bro.
Now, nice Mitch, I'm gonna ask you the question. We see Riddle phenomenal match on SmackDown. Had a phenomenal match with Roman Reigns. Are you thinking he's too much in his promos? Randy this, Randy that, Randy this. Do you think he's riding his coattail? Do you think he's Heel made the good point. Do you think he needs to invoke? Is he really over if he keeps invoking Randy Orton, or does he have that heat on his own?
I think he's over on his own. Like before this whole Randy Orton thing, he was already over. Like people loved him before he actually teamed up and became RK Bro. But now with the Randy Orton saga, keep on saying like Randy this, Randy that. I mean, it keep on working with the crowd because they love the tag team. But if you want him to be a single, you gotta stop it with the name, buddy. You gotta stop with the name. You gotta like take a step back. People love you. You're over right now. Just slide it back with the Randy name. Just let's try not to do that every now and again.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing. You know, like I said, he has to try to get over as just Riddle. Let them know he's just Riddle instead of just bring up Randy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so when we saw that promo cut, Osmus comes out and they had a Money in the Bank qualifying match. The match, I was like, you know what? I wonder how Riddle is going to make Osmus look good in this match. You know, this is what Osmus needs. Someone who a good in-ring performer, like a Riddle, to try to get him over. And before we give any spoilers who won, when you saw that match there, did you have did exceed your expectation, the match, knowing the outcome without spoiling it? What did you think about the in-ring performance on the match? I'll go with Heel first, and then I'll throw to Mitch.
It kind of surprised me a little bit, but not that much. I was kind of, because I really didn't know what to expect from this match. Because obviously, I believe this is the first time you've ever seen it. I was just kind of like expecting, you know, probably Omos to get the upper hand, and then Riddle to have his comeback, and then, you know, kind of like the old school, that would be, you know, Giant versus, you know, High Flyer again. Even though Riddle's not really a High Flyer, but you get what I'm saying. I guess you say Giant versus Underdog kind of thing. And, okay. It was solid, especially for because I believe this is the first time they ever fought. So it was solid. It didn't knock me off my chair and like that. But you know, it was okay.
They fought back in 2021 when he was with AJ Styles. Mitch, let me ask you the same question. You know, not knowing the result, right? Not giving the result, you expected. Oh my God, this is versus this, and then the match happened, and you saw the result. Did it live up to expectation, or did it pleasantly surprise you?
Like, I've been thinking about this, like, all day. And to me, it's just like, I don't know if it lived up to it because Omos is still a little bit green, in my opinion. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that. But
Yeah, we agree.
So, for me, it's just like, it didn't meet my expectations. It didn't meet it.
Okay.
So, to me, it's just like, not quite there.
Yeah. All right. I didn't think when I first saw it, I thought it was gonna be like a real cluster, like you know, we all know I'm on the screen. I'm like, man, but you know, Riddle just had a hell of a match with Roman Reigns, and he's gonna try to help get this guy over. And all in all, he did. Almost looked like the big giant slamming Riddle, hurting him, taking advantage of Riddle, who had his ribs taped up from that Roman Reigns spear that he got off the throat, or, you know, from when on Friday Night SmackDown. And I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, the way Almas won. He actually beat Riddle. I'm like, whoa, they didn't bury the giant, because they could have easily buried Almas to get Riddle into the Money in the Bank match. And then you go, where do you go with the Almas? But I don't think Riddle loses heat here. I think Riddle still keeps his heat despite Almas winning. What's your thoughts on that, Mitch?
I mean, Vince McMahon wanted Omos to become like a single champion. He wants to keep on pushing him. But with Riddle, I thought Riddle was going to win. I'm right there with you. Because, dude, Riddle's on a hot streak right now. You got to keep that going. Keep that going to Money in the Bank, even though he's not my pick to win my Money in the Bank, the Money in the Bank. You got to keep on riding it. But with Omos winning it, it's a typical McMahon move. It's a typical McMahon booking. Like, for me, it's just like, it is what it is, but I guarantee you the next time Omos wrestles somebody, he'll probably going to lose. It's 50-50 booking.
What's your thoughts on that, Heel? On the Omos winning?
I did like it, because Omos right now does need it more than the Riddle.
Right.
Because the Riddle is obviously probably the next match. Like he said, sometimes they do 50-50 booking, and Riddle probably will win his next match. And sometimes they don't. For example, Seth Rollins, it's we always talk about how it's been a while since he's won. So just flat out, Omos didn't need more, and I think it was a good thing he went over. Now it's just his job to carry on the momentum going into the next show.
And not only that, you have another different element of a wrestler in the Money in the Bank to get, you know, can yes. that, you know, that even though he might be green, but can that big dummy get on the top of that ladder and get that briefcase, you know, or you could showcase him at Havoc, you know, knocking people all over the place with the ladders and setting up and getting other wrestlers over just by his mere presence of him being a big guy, taking someone a moonsault from the top, from the ladders onto him. What's your thoughts on that, Mario?
Yeah, like we were talking about. We talked about this, I think, a week ago. But we were like, man, just having Omos in that Money in the Bank ladder match, it'll be such a unique and cool vibe. Granted, there's been monsters before, but some are obviously more athletic than the others. Omos, obviously not the most athletic guy in the Money in the Bank. But, I mean, who knows what cool stuff they can come up with. Because, as we know, today's wrestling, they're arguably more creative, if not are more creative than wrestlers in the past with how they do stunts and everything like that. So who knows what they're going to do with Omos. Like, for all you know, he could probably just grab someone and suplex them out of the ring onto a bunch of tables or something like that. I mean, and next thing you know, it's over for both of them, his opponent and him on the ladder. So, yeah, hopefully they do something really crazy with Omos. I don't expect him to win. But knowing the stuff they can do with him, it should be really entertaining. So hopefully he doesn't disappoint.
Yeah. Mitch, your thoughts on that before we move on.
So for Omos, I think, remember what the Big Show did? He had like that extremely big ladder. I really think they're going to bring that out for Omos. I really have that feeling because he is taller than the Big Show. So it's just like, I can see that happening. I can see him using that in some form or fashion. So, for me, I think that'll happen. But they're going to use him for spots. I mean, they're going to make the other wrestlers look good. They're going to make Riddle look good. They're going to make Seth Rollins look good. Obviously, he's the favorite. So, they're going to make the other superstars look good with Omos being there for his presence alone.
Right, and you can make him look like that big overpowering monster. In that, you know, like in that obstacle, like Heels likes to mention, you know, you need that obstacle and that big monster there. God bless you there, Heel. I know you're sneezing. And well, we saw Riddle defeat. In defeat, we also saw in the backstage Steph Rollins taking a look there, a setup of a new feud, something fresh, something different. You know, we were wondering where does Seth go from here, and Riddle will go there because I love it that. They're going to make it looks like we're getting a feud between these two facets between, you know, Seth and Riddle. And of course, Seth comes out and just curb stomps and beat the crap out of an injured Riddle. And he may cut the promo. All in all, what's your thought about this new feud awakening? Do you like it? Do you feel it fresh? Mitch, what are your thoughts?
I can't wait for them to wrestle together. I mean, I'm pretty sure we've seen it before, if I'm wrong. But two fantastic wrestlers. Seth Rollins knows how to get the crowd over. Riddle knows how to get the crowd over. It's exciting to see, for me at least. But here's my thing. How long are they going to get in the ring? What's the time limit going to be? Is it going to be 5, 10? For me, give them 15 to 20 minutes in that match. Give them 15 to 20 minutes. If you give them like 5, it's like, what's the point of even having that match? Like, it's a potential match of the year candidate. It's a potential match of the year. And people are saying, shout out to my guy DJ Storms, Riddle's last match with Reigns on SmackDown, that's up there for match of the year candidate already, from what I've been hearing. So, Riddle and Rollins, that's going to be even better, I feel like. Just give them the time. Just give them the time.
Heel, what's your thought on this developing feud? What's your input on this? You're muted, my friend.
You're muted, bro.
Sorry. So, yeah, Seth Rollins has just had a great feud with anyone. So I feel like he said, you give him time. And on top of that, depending on how they tell the story with this whole feud. Because, I mean, it's Seth Rollins. I mean, this guy, I'll be honest with you. I go as far to say he's like the Shawn Michaels of our generation, or at least the closest thing we're going to get to another Shawn Michaels. Because he can do anything, technical wrestling, high flying, you name it. And he's so clean in the ring, too. I don't remember the last time he had a major botch. And like you said, you give him time. You give him a serious story and stuff like that. Especially with Riddle, who's another good wrestler. It's going to be off the charts. A great match at Rumble.
All right. Let's say hello to the program. We have Samurai, who has returned. And Mr. Earl Cole from the Wrestling Experience. What's going on, Mr. Cole?
Hello, everyone. And it's nice to see everyone again. It's always good to see everyone. And greetings from New York City. We're about to get rained on here in New York. But hey, that's Mother Nature for you.
All right. We were breaking down here. I want to get both you, Cole and Samurai, starts with Seth Rollins. Now looks like he's going to start a feud with Riddle, and it looks like it's fresh. It looks like it's new. And are you excited? What's your thoughts on that? We'll go with Samurai first. Samurai, what's your thoughts on that? The new feud here. Do you like it? Are you invested in it? Is it going to intrigue you?
Yes, I'm very invested and intrigued in it because, I mean, it actually technically happened. It started 2 years ago with Becky Lynch and Riddle's wife. So, I mean, it's already, there's some seeds planted there. So I think they can have a good, a good match and a good feud. Like Hill said, they're really good wrestlers. Both of them are. And I hope that they can deliver.
All right, then. Mr. Cole, Earl Cole, talk to me about it. What's your opinion on this feud? Are you looking forward to it? What is exciting about these two in-ring performers?
I think that this is good. This is really good for Riddle because he's been going after the Universal title now for a while. And now that he has that stipulation in front of him, he's not going to get the belt. And he needs something new in the program. So I'm all for this. I'm all for this. And I just hope that they book this correctly. Because the WWE has a tendency of doing things that are not politically correct in the booking department, as we all know. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they're going to have good chemistry in the ring. I think it's a great matchup. And I'm looking forward to it. As a fan, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, they need something new with these two, and it's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah, we agree with you on that. Me personally, I can't wait to see them go at it. I hope that it's not just a couple. I know guys get annoyed that WWE takes too long, or the matches, they repeat a lot of repetitive, but I hope they take their time with this storyline, this feud. And, you know, I would like to see it, you know, a nice best of, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be in the minority, but a best of seven between these two guys, because they bring it in all different aspects. You know, the same way Cody and Seth, you know, we could have possibly had a fourth match, and we saw different aspects of it. And we wanted more. And I think Riddle and Seth will bring it. I think they're going to intrigue us. I think they're going to entertain us. And the summer is going to be really interesting with these two guys going at it with there. With that, we'll move on to the next segment. We saw a little bit of Austin Theory come out. He was posing. And, of course, that selfie when he saw Bobby Lashley. It looks like Bobby Lashley and Theory is going to be for the United States title. Excuse me. And now Austin Theory, my God, he's really getting that big push. Do you think it's going to be – it benefits him going with a Lashley, or do you think Lashley should – they should have moved them up to Roman Reigns? Earl, I'll go with you, and then we'll go over to heel. But we'll go to Cole first.
Here's the thing. I don't like the storyline.
Okay.
I don't like it. First of all, it makes no sense. You're going after each other with these poses and everything else. I want to see something materialize here. I want to see a real wrestling match. I don't care about your physique. I don't care about what you look like. I don't care about what you're doing in the ring. That does not impress me, no to no end. I want to see some wrestling. I want to see some quality booking here. This booking is absolutely whack. The booking is whack. It makes no sense whatsoever. These two are going back and forth with each other with these pose downs and who's got this and who's got money. I don't care about that. I'm not interested in it. I'm not invested in it. So to me, the storyline makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. It's not for me. I don't know anybody else. I can't speak for anybody else. But for me, it's not for me. I want to see some real contest here. I think that Lashley should have went after Roman Reigns for the title, and I think that that's where the road should have been traveled, not with this Theory thing. If you're going to book him into the United States Championship match, book him in the United States Championship match, not a pose down. That does not thrill me whatsoever, and it's not going to bring the audience to the yard.
All right, before I throw it to heel, remember, everyone complains about WWE not allowing storyline, and they're telling us that's what WWE has been doing for years. They did it with the Ultimate Warrior and Ravishing Recruit with their pose down. They're telling a story. We got to let it marinate and let it develop. But I understand what you mean. Heel, what's your thoughts on that?
I understand some of Oral's complaints. Like you just said too, Jedi, I think they are letting this feud marinate, and I don't think it would be the brightest idea to just throw Lashley straight to Roman. I honestly do think right now is a good thing for Lashley to face Theory, because as you know, Teddy is trying to build Theory, and what better way to do that than to send someone like Lashley to him, a former WWE champion. And I think it's actually like I said, I understand it hasn't been the best telling story right now. It might get better in the future, but for right now, it's fine, and it's a decent story for the U.S. title. And overall, I mean, it's been fine. I don't mind it at all, and I do like where this is going. If I, you know, think where it's going. And Theory's been a really good heel. Lashley's actually been a really good face since he split from MVP. I mean, like I said, I understand people's complaints. You want more from this feud, and I absolutely agree with that. But give it more time, and I think we'll get it. Right now, it's fine for what it is.
All right. I'll send the same question over to Mitch. Mitch, your same question to you there. What's your opinion on thoughts on that?
My opinion is this. So, we all know that Austin Theory is getting this push by Vince McMahon. We all see it clear as day. I'm going to do a big prediction here from down the line. I got Theory winning, and then I have Theory losing to John Cena at SummerSlam. I really think that's the way they're going to go about it and have John Cena do the United States Open Challenge again to make it, you know, a little bit relevant. And then once Theory comes back in, like, another month or two, he will win it from Cena then. Because, you know, Cena will have to do another movie or something. So that's my guess for the long run. But for this right now, to me, it's like, where does Lashley go from here after he loses to Theory? Does he lose anything? Or is he completely fine? Like, for me, it's just like, it's both sides of the coin here. Theory, Rocket, Lashley, I don't know where he's going here. I don't know.
Can I answer that question?
I was going to get to Samurai, but go ahead.
Oh, I'll just say quick something. To me, Lashley's to that point in his career where a loss doesn't bother him. And, you know, that's all I got to say. And he can.
Like, you know. All right. We'll get one more, another round on that real quick. Samurai, give me your opinion, your thoughts.
No. Because it's horrible.
Oh, no. Straight up, no.
All right. So we'll go back to that Theory and Lashley. Let me listen. We all knew that. Let me tell you this. If we will all be really curing, if we'll say Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns, and we have to wait all the way until SummerSlam, I think that would have been boring. I think it would have not sold for SummerSlam pay-per-views or premium. I think Lashley cannot cut a promo well. Personally, I think he's great in-ring performer, but he doesn't have the mouthpiece in MVP, and I think Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley would have been a disaster. I like the fact that Vince McMahon moving up Theory, almost Riddle. They're showcasing us the wrestlers of the future, guys. Now the two class of 2002 is already leaving us. When I'm talking about the Cenas, the Orton, etc., they're leaving. They're getting older. Roman Reigns only on a part-time schedule, you know, and so forth. Now you got these new up-and-coming wrestlers. Remember, we want to see new pushes. Well, here we go. We're giving you new pushes. We can't be complaining it either. We can't want new pushes, and then when they do it, complain that it's not leaving up to the billing. What's your thoughts, Earl, on that one? Do you see that kind of point of view, or?
Well, I understand where you're coming from, and I understand what you're coming from. But you have to remember here who you're dealing with. You're dealing with WWE, okay? And the thing is that I grew up on this company for many, many years, yep. Okay? I know that sometimes that they will always disappoint the fans when it comes to certain booking. And this is the problem that I have. You know, I agree with everyone here. I agree with everyone's assessment that, yes, maybe it would have been a disaster if Lashley would have went after, you know, Roman and everything else, and the build wouldn't be good and everything else. But if you're going to pit Theory against him for the United States Championship, do it without poses. Do something. I mean, I don't like poses in the middle of feuds. I don't like it because it just takes away the mystique of the whole feud. That's the only thing that I'm kind of concerned with. And that is just my gripe. And like I said, it's just my opinion. You know, so I like it. I like the feud. I think it's going to be okay. But the only thing is that I just want him to take out the poses. I don't think it's necessary. It serves no justice to the feud.
All right. Heel, do you want to?
Okay, yeah. By the way, the whole point of the pose down wasn't even necessarily for the pose. The whole point of the pose was to show how envious a Theory can be and how heelish she can be to Bobby. Because if you remember during the pose down, I believe Theory attacked Lashley. So are poses really old school? Yes, they are. And I can see why people would hate them. And that's fine. I get it. You know, sometimes they can feel too 1980s. But do they serve a purpose still? Yes, they do. poses still serve a good purpose. A lot of old school stuff in wrestling still serves a good purpose. For example, look at I know he's from AEW, but look at MJF. A lot of people said, oh, you know, there's no point in really staying in character 24/7, da da da. But then look at MJF, and he's creating more buzz than even some WWE wrestlers. And the bottom line is, there's a lot of old school stuff that we take literally for granted that still has its place in wrestling today, even in 2022. And we did ask WWE for new talent for years, and even I took a break from them because I was tired of seeing the same old people on top. And then they finally started to push a lot of people, rather it's from NXT or new signings or whatever. Then I finally came back and I was like, yes, this is fun. This is refreshing. I finally get to see new people be built, be in new feuds and this and that. And it's exciting. It's refreshing. It makes you see the future of wrestling. Because a while there, I was worried about the future of wrestling. And it's just so fun to see, again, the future of wrestling being built right there in front of us. And yeah, so just bottom line is, no matter how old school it is, if you do it right, it has its place in wrestling. Wrestling is just another art form. It evolves with the times.
Okay. Before I throw this over to your opinion there, Mitch, remember, guys, they're not just kids. Remember, we get to see Liv Morgan's butt cheeks. Also, we get to see Becky Lynch, all the divas. They're very beautiful. They see their cheeks. They got to give the ladies something as well. Remember, yeah. WWE is for a little bit for everybody, also for children. You know, also some of the storylines, it might be corny. You know, in NXT, you got Wendy Chu with the sleepy time. There's also catering to everyone. Remember, Earl, we probably go back to WrestleMania, the very first one. They always cater to us as those kids. Remember, you identify yourself as that kid thinking about, you know, oh, man, Hillbilly Jim is going to go after and get Nikolai Volkov. You know, those kind of USA versus – remember, we still those kids. They also want to get that audience. Sometimes we lose that essence that WWE also wants to cater to other audience. And I get it, Earl. It looks sometimes corny to us because we're older. I'm like, oh, this is corny. But I think the pose on also was throwing a lady something because – also, remember, there's a scandal going on, you know, outside of the company of inappropriate behavior with you know, and oh, look at the male chauvinist. Like, let's throw Gary and Brian and Lashley there to show their pecs. Oh, look how beautiful the ladies see, and remember that. That's the genius of Vince McMahon. There's a reason always behind it. Go ahead.
Well, listen. Here's the thing. I'm an old school wrestling fan. I've been around in the golden age of wrestling. Yes, I understand. I understand where everybody's coming from. Because on my show, we bring out all kind of genre, all kinds, from today, the now, the then, the after, and whatever. But the thing is that you have to hone in on a new viewer. If somebody was turning on Raw and they were a new viewer, they've never seen wrestling before, and they're looking at this from the outside looking in, what kind of a mindset do you think that they would have, what they're looking at? You know, you're seeing a guy posing, you see a lady in her bra and panty. You see, the thing is that you have to respect the talent. You can't just take the talent and then use them as a sideshow or a freak show or, you know, something like that. They have athleticism. And that is what we're looking for when we are looking for a wrestling match. We want to see athleticism. We want to see you do a leapfrog. We want to see you do a horonkanarana. We want to see you do something in the ring that's entertaining to us. You know, yes, the poses and everything else and the bra and the panty, yeah, okay, that's a little entertainment, you know, that's something for everybody. But everybody has a different mind when it comes to wrestling. So that's the only thing that I'm saying. That's the only thing. I understand I have to grow up with the times and I have to grow into it. I'm slowly getting into it. I'm slowly getting groomed into what everyone is talking about. But I'm a little bit old school, and I like to stick by the book, and you know, I'm a little stickler like that. So, but I mean, you're right. It is for everybody.
But Earl, but to combat that about stickling the old school, what was the most wrestler? And when we grew up, what was the more wrestler larger than life? Hulk Hogan, right?
Right.
So Hogan was 24-inch pythons. Mm-hmm. You know, say your prayers, your vitamins. He was a gladiator. I mean, no disrespect to the physique of Eddie Kingston. McMahon would never put a champion, you know, when he wants to promote you a champion, a grand champion, he wants to show someone like the Incredible Hulk. That's why Hulk, you know, that larger than life persona, muscles about muscle, Ultimate Warrior, muscles about muscles, abs. That's what he always, and you know that since 40 plus years of the WWE. That's who they want to show us, and they showcase us. And I think that's what I understand what you mean, because we're going in circles there. Mitch, what's your thought? We haven't had you talk in a few minutes.
I'm fine. I'm just enjoying the show. But to talk about the Austin Theory poses, it's like, to me, I'll take it or leave it. Like, it is what it is. You can't change anything. We don't have that control. We either like it or we don't. If we don't like it, we're going to change the channel and watch the ratings go down. That's basically what's happening here. How many times have we seen the ratings go down within the past decade or two plus? Like, WWE, what they got right now with the poses, it's going downhill. So they're losing that demographic between 18 and 35.
I agree with you.
They're losing that demographic. So what they got to fix that, because poses ain't working. Not working.
Samurai, what's your thoughts on that? Because we haven't heard you spoke in a while either.
I mean, I agree with everybody's assessment. It's just no bueno.
Why?
just because, I mean, nobody has time for that. Nobody wants to see two grown men posing in the middle of the ring in 2022. It's not the 1980s. Like, come on now. In the 80s, yeah, it would have been fine, but it's not the 80s.
I agree. Because the thing is that you want to see, you know, it's almost, wrestling to me is almost like a TV dinner. You want it quick and fast. You want to put that in the oven. You want to eat. You want to hurry up. You want to get it done. You want to get it over with. And that's what a wrestling fan wants. They want to see wrestling. You know, the thing is that when you pay money, because right now wrestling is expensive. Tickets are expensive. They're not cheap. And the thing is that you want to see some quality, decent wrestling. This is what I preach all the time on my show. I preach it till the cows come home. You want quality, decent wrestling. You don't want to see anything glitchy, witchy, or botchy, watchy, or anything like that in a match. You want to see something clean.
AEW. AEW.
Yeah. Wow. You want to see clean finishes. Yeah. You want to see clean finishes. You don't want to see DQ finishes. You don't want to see redundancy. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see that. And that is what the WWE is doing all the time on Raw. And I had said to somebody the other day, I said, what is the sense of you watching Raw live when you could always watch the encore presentation of last week's show, because that's what you're going to get this week. You're getting last week's show from this week. They keep repeating the same matches over and over and over again. And I keep saying that to everybody, but everybody jumps down my throat. I'm like, look, listen, okay, you like what you like, and I know what I see, and you don't see what I see, but that's okay. That's okay. I respect you. I respect your mind, and I respect your opinion. I'm not going to beat you over the head with my opinion, but I just have my opinion, and I know what I see, and I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see every day. You know, 3 hours of Raw is very hard to watch. It's very hard because I did not grow up on, when I used to go to the Manhattan Center and I used to watch Raw and everything else, they used to put on match after match after match. There was no segments. There was no 24 segments. There was none of this. There was none. I mean, it's just like, I feel at times that they're trying to bury the show because they're just lazy with the booking. I don't want to have that feeling, and I do not want to feel like that, but that's the way I feel sometimes when I watch Raw. I'm like, are they trying to bury this show on purpose with this diet, with all of this stuff here? I'm like, what are they doing? Like, what are you doing? See, I have a hashtag that I've used almost 3 years. It's, what are you doing, WWE? What are you doing? Look what you're doing. They keep shooting themselves in the foot. And that's what I keep saying all the time.
Hugh, you got something to say? Go ahead.
I actually agreed with a little bit of what he said. But the part that I disagree with him with is that sometimes it feels like you're watching the same thing on a weekly basis. Part of that is kind of true in the sense that, you know, you're watching the Usos, and let's say if they were healthy again, RK-Bro, kind of like on a weekly basis. But it's not always simply the same match over and over again. You see, I've always said this, and I always stick to this, and I think everyone else here will agree. If you want to see great storytelling, again, storytelling wrestling, you always watch WWE, and WWE is always going to be storytelling first. The wrestling, they don't care how fast it is, how slow it is. You know, as long as it's clean, that's all they care about. As long as it's clean and they tell a story, they are fine with it.
You know, and I kind of disagree with that, but I'll let you go on. I'll talk after that.
All right. And that's all they care about is clean and storytelling. And then that's why it might seem like you're watching the same thing on repeat every week, and that's fine if you do. I kind of understand that. That's where I kind of agree, but kind of done not at the same time. But really all they're doing is trying to build a story. And that's where a lot of people like me like WWE a lot, especially over other companies. And if you want to see just wrestling, go watch AEW. Again, there's a lot of brands out there. You know what I mean? It's just like a restaurant. There's something for everybody. You know? And that's where I kind of just had to disagree with you a little bit. Because, again, wrestling, AEW, storytelling, and patience, WWE. It's that simple.
I think even Impact is a better wrestling than AEW. In fact, at least they don't botch their moves. Go ahead, Mitch.
All right. So for me, how can you like the storytelling if there's nothing there? Like, how many times have we seen the same stories over and over and over and over and over again? And the building up to the pay-per-view has been so lackluster. Earl, I know you agree with me on this 1,000%. You and I talked about this a lot. So that they're banging their buck to keep the pay-per-views, have the pay-per-views recently, have the matches been great because the lacklusters have been so bad. Like, can you guys admit, like, within the last couple of pay-per-views, the matches in wrestling have been better? Can you guys agree with me on that?
WrestleMania Backlash was great pay-per-view. Their pay-per-views have always been on point. They've been phenomenal. I can't disagree with you on that.
I'm not arguing that. And by the way, you're right. We technically have seen the same short lines over and over again, but that's what wrestling is. If you look at any era of wrestling, even up till now, every storyline has something similar to it. The only difference is the wrestlers are different. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, their creative is lackluster.
No. That goes for any wrestling company. It's just a matter of what wrestler's in it, who's the heel, who's the face. Think about it. Hogan versus Andre, bad guy versus good guy. You know, Stone Cold versus The Rock, good guy versus bad guy. Again, moving up, you know, Cena versus Randy, good guy versus bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's wrestling itself, what I'm trying to say is a repeat and rinse and repeat and recycle type of business. There's never going to be something that's 100% completely unique. And whenever you watch something on TV, you can always look back and be like, that was the first this, that was the first that. You know, oh, this reminds me of this. That's reminds me of that. There's nothing in wrestling, especially nowadays, that's completely original. And that's a fact.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're doing those storylines or whatever it is with the different superstars. They should be pushing the younger stars in those storylines.
They are.
Build.
They're not.
What are they doing with KO? What are they doing with Kevin Owens, bro? All
right, here
Kevin
we go.
Kevin is in major storyline with Ezekiel.
Would you rather have Kevin Owens compete for a title? For a world title instead of who? Like, to me, I want Kevin Owens in the title picture. I want Sami Zayn in the title picture. I want AJ Styles in the title picture. Like,
aren't these guys former world champions?
Yes. Keep them there. Don't keep the title hostage with Roman Reigns.
You have to rotate the title picture. And right now, Roman is the guy who's selling the tickets. Right now, Roman is the guy that's selling pay-per-views. So you can't just take the title off him simply because you want one guy to be champion. I'm sorry, wrestling doesn't work that way. The way wrestling works is if that top guy right now that has your belt, titles, is making the money, you keep the title on him unless he's going to go do something like movies or whatever and leave your company for a while or if he got injured.
Unless the fans on Twitter are getting tired of what they're seeing.
Then forget it because you'll be changing to it. You'll be changing titles like toilet paper. That's the problem with WWE has right now.
Even if the people on Twitter complain, guess what? The only way they can complain is by simply not buying the tickets, not watching the pay-per-views or anything like that. But as long as they're watching, as long as they're buying, they have no reason to complain. Because I'll tell you
right now, if Twitter was around when Hulk Hogan was the champion, they would have wanted him to lose that belt immediately.
Yes.
Or even Ric Flair. Because they would have been so sick and tired of him winning and winning and winning. Or even the Honky Tonk Man, one of the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I was sick of him with that belt. But that's what made me want to watch. And the obstacle of having him, who the hell is going to take the belt? No one knew that Ultimate Warrior was going to take that title away from the Honky Tonk Man. We all thought it was Brutus the Barber briefcase. Because we that buildup, that dislike, that's that angle. And I get it. You know what the problem with this wrestling crowd now, everyone wants an attitude era, and they're not going to, no matter what, WWE is never going to go to the attitude era because of the PG-13, the stocks, the corporate angle, and that's why AEW is a much livelier product, in my opinion, because we want that attitude era, and WWE is kind of like, history repeats itself, it's a cycle. I think let's see how that goes there.
Yeah. And I don't. No offense, Mitch, or anyone that's going to say this. I don't want anyone complaining about how the younger talent isn't getting pushed. Because look at the people in major storylines and the people that's holding your titles. WWE, you have no right to be complaining about the younger talent not getting pushed.
Let me ask the panel real quick before we continue the Raw review.
Yeah.
Carl, do you like Gunther as Intercontinental Champion? Yes or no?
I think Gunther as the Intercontinental Championship is okay. The only problem that I had is the way they treated Ricochet as the Intercontinental Champion. They buried him. And I just felt bad for Ricochet because he didn't really have a meaningful Intercontinental title run.
Yeah, but that's not on Gunther's expense.
I blame the booking. I blame the booking.
And booking that, backstage. We don't know what happens backstage either. We don't know if he has a bad attitude. Right. We don't know if he doesn't put the work in. Mitch, do you like Gunther as Intercontinental? Yes or no?
Wrestling wise, yes. Character wise, in that name, no. Hell, no. Right. I'm Jewish, so F that.
All right. Samurai, do you like Walter as Intercontinental Champion?
I like Walter. Yes, you know.
We know him by NXT Walter. That's why we.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I call him for now. I don't even call him by the other name. F that.
Walter.
Got you.
Yes.
I kind of like it as well. That's a young talent there. Austin Theory, younger talent there. Now, there's going to be young guys coming up from NXT, which I'm going to bring to this here. Tommaso Ciampa. Do you get it, or do you feel like they're burying him, Amaro?
Tommaso Ciampa, ever since he's been called up to the main roster, has been lackluster. They just keep jobbering him to other people, and I just wish that people would just look at something with great potential and use it in the right way, and they just don't do that, and that just irks me to no end. When you have somebody that's talented as Tommaso Ciampa, and he had so many stellar matches in NXT, and then you bring him up to the main roster, and then you water him down to just a jobber, it hurts me as a fan, because I remember all his memorable matches. And it's just, it's not right. It's just not politically correct to me.
All right. Do you understand the point, the angle that they're doing with Ciampa, though?
I understand the angle, and I understand the point, but the point is that where is the end game in the whole thing? I want to see something. I want to see some stellar stuff from them. I want to see some stellar booking. I don't want you to keep jobbering this man every 20 seconds of the day. You're ruining his star power.
No,
and that's the only issue that I have.
The angle is he's the Miz's cleanup guy, and he's gonna get fed up, and he's gonna turn on the Miz, and that's when he's gonna go on the run. Heel, what's your thoughts on that? That's the angle. That's why he's losing there.
First off, you gotta give this time to marinate, and you gotta give this time to build. I'm sorry to say this, but I feel like for years I've been having to say this. Whatever wrestler comes from NXT to the main roster, it's not always going to be the same wrestler that comes onto the main roster. Tommaso Ciampa was great on NXT, there's no doubt. But he's not going to be the same wrestler he was once he comes to the main roster. Because I'm sorry, the main roster is where all the big boys are at. That's where he's really good.
He has that potential, bro.
Yeah. No one's denying that. But point is, the main roster is where all the big boys are at. Like I said, NXT is pretty much AAA. And no matter how good you do in AAA, once you get called to the big leagues, that's where you're going to have to learn how to stand out and prove to people that you really belong in the big leagues. And right now, Tommaso Ciampa is in a really good angle. And you can tell if you watch Raw this week that, yes, there's a lot of potential in this storyline. And there's a lot of potential where they're going with him and The Miz. Now, as for where this is going, I think it's unfair to say that he is going to be wasted. However, I can understand if people are frustrated because, let's be honest. We live in a generation where people are really impatient. They want things snap, snap, quick, quick. But you got to be patient with Ciampa. And then, whether he fails or not, that's going to be on his own accord.
Mitch? So, I got a show in like 5 minutes, so I just want to get my thought out, then I can leave. So, with this NXT thing, right? With this NXT, we've seen it countless times with different wrestlers. Djokovic. What happened to him? Right? There's one. Ember Moon, 24/7 title. I can go on and on. Johnny Gargano didn't even want to go to the main roster. He left. He freaking left. That tells you how bad creative is. When you have one of the best wrestler in your company under your umbrella and he wants out, a lot of them are going to fall out. Sasha Banks, Naomi, those are just a couple. There's going to be a lot more coming. Believe me on that. Vince McMahon only pushes guys that he wants in blondes. And blondes. That's all I got to say.
I disagree with some of those things. I disagree with
that too because, you know, Bianca Belair, she's over. Montez Ford is about to get over.
Okay.
Sasha Banks, former women's champion.
Former women's champion.
Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, indeed. Who's the other one?
Asuka, look at what she's done.
No. Lacey Evans. They were pushing Lacey Evans. I mean, come on. Ember Moon is way better than Lacey Evans.
Also, what about Raquel Rodriguez? She's right now the it factor in SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. But majority of his pushing, majority is blonde. Majority.
If anything, you're kind of proving my point. NXT is literally the AAA, and when you get called up, that's when you truly get tested.
And yeah, but it depends on where Vince puts them. And the 24/7 title, that's how Ember Moon torn her ACL because of running around in a line.
That's not always
not in a match, not in the main event, in a freaking line.
That's not always true, because look at other wrestlers. If they don't get a major time on TV, they either ask for it or they demand it and they get it and they make useful time of it. You got to take charge of your own career, and that's one of the best advices that veterans have given people that are up and coming.
But here's the thing. You talk about creative and everything else, and what happens if you're a wrestler and an organization don't want to hear your ideas?
Get frustrated.
Okay? And you get frustrated. What happens then? Because that's what happened with Sasha Banks and Naomi. They went to creative. They wanted to push ideas. They were told no. They were told, no, we have ideas. We know what works for you. We know what's best. We. There's no I in team. Everything is me, myself, and I. And that is the problem that I have with this company. They are very vindictive. They believe in what they believe, and they push who they want to push, and they do what they want to do, and screw everyone else who has an idea.
That's not true.
And that's the problem. And that is the problem that I have. And that is the problem that I have with this company.
That's false.
No, it's not.
They would not be in business for 40 plus years if they were doing things wrong.
No,
they were the worst company.
No,
ever.
He's talking about right now.
I'm not talking about back in the days.
No,
I'm not
talking about that.
I'm talking about now, the way their attitude
even
is.
Right now. Yeah, that's false.
No, their attitude is just like that. Listen, guys, sit back and look. Sit back and look at everything that has happened in the past couple of months, weeks, leading up to this day. Look at everything else that's happening. If the WWE was so good and everything was good, if everything was good in the WWE, Sasha Banks wouldn't have left. Okay? You wouldn't have had Ember Moon released. You wouldn't have had this. You wouldn't have had all these releases. You wouldn't have all this turmoil. You would have
Kyrie
your ticket King, sales.
Another one.
Your ticket sales would have been through the roof.
They are still.
Let me interject on that one. The WWE is a billion-dollar company, and just because you're a good ring performer, you also have to conduct yourself. And look at how Vince McMahon is paying the price. You know, you're no matter what you do outside the ring, you're representing a billion-dollar company and industry. Now, if you have a bad attitude and it's terrible with catering with ring setup or union workers in the back like Keith Lee was. That's why he's no longer in the WWE. He had a nasty ass attitude. Because you could look at it in PW Insider or Wrestling Inc., Raj Geary. Yeah, I'm throwing those names out because you guys were writing it. The ones that kissing Keith Lee's ass now, you guys were burying him when he was in WWE, how bad of an attitude he was. And also guys that are not behaving well and conducting themselves, either with drug policy or curfew or whatever. Those are other aspects that you get released, and same way with baseball contract or on us as a worker. You know, I work in construction. I'm entitled to a work vehicle. If I don't take care of my work vehicle, act like a fool with it, or go grocery shopping, doing whatever, I lose the privileges. That's the same thing with these companies. If you don't behave well, if you don't do your right thing, or performance wise, you're going to get released. They don't have to disclose it to all of us why they're no longer there. Why don't get the push? Because maybe they are nasty. Maybe they have a bad attitude. Maybe they don't come on time to the rehearsals, to the wrestling programs. You know, we have a meeting here. We want to go over creative. You're late. You don't care. You come hungover. You're, you know, those, we don't know that. And it's not WWE's Or even AEW or any wrestling, they shouldn't be telling us, oh, this is why he's not getting pushed, because this is not, because that's not right either. Maybe that's, have you ever thought about it? Maybe they're just not good employees.
Some of them are not. I'm not taking that away. Some of them are bad employees. Some of them are good. But most of them are getting, what is the word, are not given the time of day.
I agree.
They're not. Madcap Moss is on a streak right now. He's on a streak. I guarantee you, if he was facing Austin Theory would have beat him in a couple minutes flat, squash. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, then Holy momentum would go down.
You might be right. You can't say that yet, though, because, again, he's in a feud, and you got to
give him that. No, I'm just saying this hypothetically.
Well, again, that's a hard thing to say, because you have to give him – you got to give him time to marinate. You got to give him time to build. You can't just assume, oh, this guy would be that. Yes, no one's going to disagree with you that there have been wrestlers that have been mistreated, like, rather they were good or bad or whatever. Yes, there has been some wrestlers that have probably been really misused or mistreated, whoever have you. But at the same time, like, I feel like you're wanting, like, everyone to just be pushed in the moon, like, right this second, and it's like, dude, that's
not
how
it's not right this second. No, it hey, doesn't guys, feel. No,
let me say this. Do you? Let me. Okay, a wrestler that wasn't pushed in WWE, Malakai Black. Do you agree? Okay. He wasn't really pushed in WWE.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. He wasn't pushed because
and
his
idea. How's he doing in AEW?
He's doing good. He's doing good.
He's boring. He's really boring.
He's going to win the trios title.
I respectfully going to disagree here. Okay. I'm going to respectfully disagree. When you have a wrestler, because I listened to his interview, Malakai Black, he said that when he was in WWE, he tried to push several different ideas about his character to the booking department. And they told him flat out, no. Okay? So when you have a wrestler that is creative as Malakai Black is, and you go to booking and you said, I want to change my character. I want to do this. I want to do this. Let's try this. Let's try. And you keep getting no, 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 no. It's not good for the company to be doing that.
I'll give you another name.
You got to work together.
And it's also.
I'll give you another name. Bray Wyatt. Why would you let that guy go? If I were Vince McMahon, I would give him to the moon. Taking the sales, merchandise, we're going up because of Bray freaking Wyatt.
Malakai Black is a better example because here's the thing about Bray Wyatt. They keep repackaging him. They keep giving him chances. But you know what happens with Bray Wyatt? And I hate saying this because I actually met the guy. I have his autograph. And yes.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, yeah. And I hate saying this. So if Bray ever hears it somehow, I'm sorry. But Bray's one guy you can't really complain about because the guy, like I said, he keeps getting package, keeps getting chances, but the guy gets hot for like a cup of coffee, like either rather it's for a year, 6 months, whatever have you, and he does good for that time being. He's put two in really good feuds too, like with the Daniel Bryan one, Randy Orton, you name it. He gets pushed with these big stars, especially at the time, but then. Right when it's his time to go down, he phases out like a candle.
Well,
like literally, like he dies.
Booking Hell in a Cell with Seth Rollins.
That proves my point, though. See,
how does that prove your point? That's booking on Vince's part.
He was hot, but then he phases out.
He didn't phase out. Vince McMahon booked that shit. Excuse me for my language. I'm sorry.
And then with Malakai Black, though, I can understand that a lot more. only because he kind of ran with only one gimmick in WWE. But still, that doesn't decline the fact from the fact that he was just a boring guy walking around. It's like, ooh, excuse me, I work with a dark gimmick. Ooh, it's like, well, so do like 20,000 other wrestlers.
Yeah, but he was a crowd favorite.
For a minute, because people were like, oh, that's kind of cool. Dude,
look at the ratings during that time. Look at the merchandise.
First of all, you
can watch him with the chairs?
Like right. I said, he was, cool. He was cool for a cup of coffee.
No. Bray I'm Wyatt. Talking Bray Wyatt was
not. No, not Bray Wyatt. I'm talking about Malakai Black.
He was I was cool talking about Bray Wyatt this whole time.
Bray Wyatt, he went to do a movie. He went to do movies. He got released. Also, remember, WWE turned the other cheek, which they do a lot of. Remember, he was in the middle of an affair with JoJo when he was married to his wife and kids. When he had a wife and kids, and he got an affair with JoJo, and they still kept him and they pushed him. You know, after a while, crap behind the scenes. You know, they're like, enough. I can't. You know, we're a build multi, and of course, Vince is painting the skeletons coming out to the light. But that no one to that. Those are other things behind the scene. You just like, you know what? Sometimes the risk is, you know, I can't take the risk no more with this talent, because look at Jeff Hardy. You know, it's just things that are outside of our eyes that we, and sometimes might lead to. My point is, things outside are behind the ring. Leads to a lot of these guys' releases, and also at work. You know, I'm a very talented guy that knows how to do things in my job. If I go to my boss and say, "Listen, I think this is a better way of building this house here," they're gonna tell me no. I mean, time I told them, "Get me this." They're gonna tell me no. It happens in work, all aspect of work.
Yeah, but Kevin, here's the thing. I understand where you're coming from complicitly. I understand, but. If you are working on a job and you had talent, okay, and you go to your supervisor, your boss, and you say, let's collaborate together and let's create a new idea, I think it should be heard. It should not be shot down immediately. There's no such thing. You see, the problem with some people is they're not open-minded to new ideas and nuances. They're not open-minded, and you're not going to meet everyone like that. So, if you're not open-minded and you don't believe in the open door policy, you're going to get disgruntlement. You're going to get waves. You're going to get anarchy. You're going to, and that poisons the locker room to no end. Rather than you going through all that chaos and all that stuff, sit down with the talent and see if you guys can work out the differences behind the scenes and get the train moving. And that is all I'm saying. I'm not saying one opinion is right, one opinion is wrong, one opinion, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is have an open mind for different ideas. Yeah. Because there are some times that we do things in life that sometimes when we do things, another pair of eyes always works best. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we do miss things. We do. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. I never said I was perfect. I never said I was better than anybody else. I never said I'm talented. I never said that. I never toot my own horn. Because the thing is that we all do missteps. Mm-hmm. We all make mistakes. We all do it.
You know.
So the thing is that you have to have an open mind. And that's all I'm saying.
I agree with that, with the open mind and listen to everybody. But remember, when you start letting everyone book and everyone, remember, you can only have, when you cook, you only have one cook, one chef. You know, everybody puts a spoon in and start cooking, you're going to have a mess. And that's what happened. That was the downfall of WCW. Everybody and their mother wanted to get their own creative, do their own storyline, do this here, do that there, do this here, LWO. Wolfpack, NWO, they all had all these crazy ideas, and look what happened to WCW.
Well, the thing is with WCW, the problem with WCW and the reason why it failed is that they did not hire people who knew wrestling. When you are running a wrestling organization, you got to hire people who know wrestling, who know all the nuances, who know all the booking aspects, what a shoot is, what this is, what that is. You have to hire the right people. If you don't hire the right people, your product is going to suffer greatly, and it's going to go down in a blaze of glory. So, and that is the problem with that. That is what happened with WCW.
Did you just forget about Eric Bischoff? Did you just forget about Eric Bischoff?
No, Eric Bischoff was good. He was a good man for the product. He was a good man. But I'm talking about after Bischoff. They started hiring people that had no idea what wrestling was. They just was nilly-pilly all over the place with the hire. They were desperate. They were like, I want to get this person in here. I want to get that person in here. I want to get this person in here. Let's hire this person. And that is what happened with the product. It suffered. When you don't have somebody who don't know wrestling, your product is going to suffer. It's going to suffer. And I'm sorry, that's just my opinion and my opinion only. I'm not saying it's the greatest opinion you ever heard of, but I'm just saying that is what happened to WCW. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's just one last thing. I got to go. With this thing with Sasha Banks, right? Remember how short her title reigns were? Just to build up Charlotte Banks. I don't know what, dude. I'm heated. Once I'm heated, I mix up names. Charlotte Flair's championship numbers go up. Go up. That's the only reason Sasha Banks will keep on losing and losing. Hot potato. Hot potato. That's a perfect example of why this company is not what it used to be. It's not what it used to be. Yo, DX, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you for coming on. We thank you so much for having you on the program. And I wanted to revert on that. You know, sometimes you gotta let the bosses do what they do, because especially when I saw the 5-woman match to start off Raw, that could have been Sasha Banks. I would have liked to see Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair and Money in the Bank than Carmella, to be honest with you. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you gotta, you know, that's why, you know, they always say soldiers are soldiers and generals are generals. And that's the problem with this generation and this culture. People don't want to go on, follow authority. And I understand right or wrong and different. I know we're going in circles, but I think if they would have just said, you know what? I think Sasha would have gotten this big push over the summer, if you ask me. Definitely, but it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, we can't go back and change time.
Yeah, sometimes the best thing you can do is just be patient.
Yeah. Look at our Job. It worked for Job. Yeah. But all in all, we'll wrap up, because I gotta get the Yankee game coming up in about another hour. Let me ask you guys real quick, Raw, in your opinion, and I love this debate, Earl. I wish we had more time. I'd love to continue having this debate, because this was fun. And hopefully, when I come on the Wrestling Experience, we'll have more debate on that there, and we'll keep on that situation. What's your thought on Raw? Samurai, we haven't heard from you. You've been quiet. Give me your thought on the whole Raw aspect before we get going.
It was boring in a sense, but it was somewhat entertaining as well.
I'm messing up, Timora.
Yes, I know.
Boring, but somewhat entertaining.
All right. I can see that. Mr. Cole, talk to me on that. I know you might have not liked it, but what's your thoughts on it?
I mean, it was okay. I'm not going to jump up and down about it. And it was just there. Okay. That's all I can say.
All right, that's cool. That's okay. I'm healed.
I'm gonna give this Raw probably like a D, because there's a couple things I liked, but there just wasn't enough to really keep me like that invested into it. It was overall just a waste of time, and maybe that's due to the injuries that are happening right now. Like, I don't think Judgment Day made an appearance, because probably Rhea Ripley and stuff like that. But hopefully in the future we'll get a better show. John Cena returns next week, so indeed. Yeah, we got the you know, hustle, future Hall of Famer.
Hustle, loyal, respect.
Yeah, future Hall of Famer and everything like that coming next week. So, yeah, the GOAT of our generation.
I thought Raw was good. I thought Raw was solid, entertaining, you know, even thank God it was no 24/7 segment. But other than that, even Veer Mahan's promo, he talked. He wasn't under the anthem, though. He fought. I liked the end of the match, at the end of Raw, the main event, where Becky was, like, totally in tears on the floor, and they went away, you know, telling a story there. Also showcasing the young talent, you know, all the young talent, and letting us know that they have a plethora of lady wrestlers. Yes, granted, to your disliking, they might be blonde and blue eyes or whatever the case is, but they have a young plethora of women talent. SmackDown has a wonderful plethora of young talent: Shotzi, Aaliyah, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler. They have talent. Now, I wish the Sasha Banks situation get resolved. I still think she'll be in the WWE. I think I'm one of the minor people, maybe 2%, that says she'll get a new contract. Naomi both, they'll be back on Raw. They'll be get back on there. That's just me. I think that. But all in all, I thought Raw was serviceable. It was really good. It wasn't as terrible as, in my eyes, in my opinion. I've seen worse wrestling programs. I thought it was solid. It's good. I'm looking forward. No disclosure, tonight NXT, for those who are going to watch it, it is going to be a good one. I saw the card. I was there live. I saw all of NXT 2 weeks ago. This show was good. The matches were good. You're going to have a couple like, oh, did that happen? Moments there, and enjoy NXT, and we'll be breaking it down with Samurai probably tomorrow. Go ahead, you, before we say
our last I just thought. Want to say something that's really important that this whole show should know. So I'm glad we finally found out that, and everyone can finally shut up about Ezekiel and Elias being the same person. I'm glad we finally cleared that up. They're not the same person. But breaking news, though, I think we have to confess it. Me and Samurai Alder are the same person.
Now, if you're Kevin Owens, Earl, why don't you challenge them to a handicap match?
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. No, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is just ridiculous.
It is comedy. Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, I hope everybody can sit back and look at this and say, you're looking at a grown ass man being obsessive with the same identity person. Think about that for a second. A grown ass man obsessed with the person that is the same person.
Where's your evidence?
They're catering to that 7-year-old kid, man. That's all it is. That's all I can think of.
I can't. I have Excedrin headache number 5, 6, 7, and 8. I can't.
Before we get going, Earl, tell us where they could find you for all our folks listening in the audio platform, all, and also in the video and Rumba as well. This goes to Rumba, Twitch, Facebook, all over audio and video platform. Let them know where you're from, and we appreciate you coming on with us.
I am the host of the Wrestling Experience, and you can always find my videos on YouTube. Go to my channel, subscribe to my channel, watch the encore presentation of my show. You can follow me on Twitter at WWE Earl C. That's WWE Earl C on Twitter. Instagram is Earl C99. And of course, I'm on Facebook, and you can make me a friend there as well.
All right. So, folks, this wraps up the program. We want to thank you guys for joining us. Tune in for the NXT review tomorrow night. And, of course, Adam the Diff Man will be on for the AEW with he'll wrap around and watch over that program, because we're all points the go-home show before the backdoor pay-per-view for AEW on Saturday night. And, folks, we'll see you here next time from the Heel of the Ring. We'll see you next time. And if I got two words for you, just subscribe.
You people bought a ticket to see me, so shut up.
Yeah. Sometimes I get so mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things. Realize something needs change.
Hi. Bye.
Bye, everybody.